إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات الله عليه وسلامه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن استنى بسنته أجمعين يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد عباد الله post-Ramadan blues. There isn't a segment of our society except that they're going through some form of anxiety. I look out at the many different people that I know, the acquaintances and even myself. And I realize that there isn't a time in a person's life that they go through except that they are experiencing some form of anxiety, some form of fear, some form of difficulty with regards to their own emotional state of being. And this is not something uncommon, this is not something out of the blue or something that is far-fetched. And it is fitting then, if this is the case, that each and every single one of us experiences some form of anxiety. When we're young, the anxiety that we fear is whether we fit in or not. When we are a little bit older, going to university, it's how we can make money and get successful in our careers. When we're in our sort of late 20s and early 30s, we're worried about getting married and starting a family. When we are married and have a family, we're worried about raising the kids and all these other ideas that are flying around and them being them adopting. And then as we get a little bit older, we're worried about purchasing our house, making ends meet, mortgages, I don't know what. We see our friends and our families there, mashallah, buying their houses and having their kids and so on and so forth and whatnot and settling in their lives. And it's like, where do we fit in that? And as you get older, towards the end of your life, you're thinking, subhanAllah, ya waylata, what have I wasted my life in the dunya? And I'm going to be meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tomorrow. And I have barely read Quran. I barely know the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, except what I have heard on a Friday from Imam Hamid, occasionally mentioning an ayah or a hadith here and there. So the anxieties never finish until you pass away and then you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's fitting, therefore, that the reward that a person gets in Jannah is لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ, that there will be no fear upon them, nor will they grieve. There will be no fear, there will be no anxiety, there will be no worry, there will be no stress. All of these things will be relieved, all of these hardships will be taken away. So does that mean that we just have to be okay with the fact that we're going to be struggling with anxiety no matter what position we find ourselves in life? Nope. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the blueprint to allow us to overcome these anxieties that we face whenever we face them in our lives. And there is no way to get out of it. No matter what happens in your life, you're going to face some form of adversity which is going to cause you to become anxious, fearful of the future, and unsure as to what's going to happen, and thus you're going to question yourself, question your iman, question those people who are around you that you think are supporting you, but then now have doubts that they're supporting you, and so on and so forth. And this is a tool of shaitan that he uses all the time. Have you not seen the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala where he says, "Ash-shaytanu ya'idukum al-faqr wa ya'murukum bil-fahsha," that shaitan, he promises you that you are going to be poor. He promises you poverty. He tells you that, bro, you know what? If you don't take out a loan, if you don't get a credit card, if you don't work in riba, then you're going to be poor. And if you're going to be poor, then everyone's going to laugh at you, you're not going to be able to afford things for your family, and so on and so forth. So you have to do the fahsha and the munkar. I have to sell haram. I have a restaurant. I've got to sell alcohol. I've got to get the punters in somehow, right? They're not going to come to my restaurant unless I sell alcohol, right? Shaitan telling you. Right? There is no way that I'm going to be able to afford a house of my own, so let me go to the commercial bank and get out a commercial interest loan. Why? Because I have to do that. That's the only way that I'm going to get a house. And if I don't get a house, then I'm going to be poor and people are going to perceive me as being poor and unsuccessful. الشيطان يعيدكم الفقر ويأمركم بالفحشاء. So this is a ploy and a trick of shaitan. So how do we counter this, brothers and sisters? How do we get above and beyond this anxiety? We have to recognize that every situation and every problem that we find ourselves in always has, every cloud has a silver lining basically. Every issue, every problem that we have and that we face, always there is a solution to it and there is something good in it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُوا شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ وَعَسَىٰ أَن تُحِبُّوا شَيْئًا وَهُوَ شَرٌّ لَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. That you may go through things that, or you may want things, you may dislike things that are actually good for you. And you may love and covet and warrant and want things that are actually bad for you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows and you do not know. And we know the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. Whatever issue that you have, whatever problem that you have, there is always some goodness in it, there's always some ease in it. إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. With every difficulty, there is an ease that comes with it. You just have to find that ease. So recognizing that every cloud has a silver lining, that every musibah, every problem, there is goodness in it. You have to trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Trust in Allah that He will get you through the difficulty that you are going through. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, وَإِن يَمْسَسْكَ اللَّهُ بِضُرٍ فَلَا كَاشِفَ لَهُ إِلَّا هُوَ وَإِن يُرِدْكَ بِخَيْرٍ فَلَا رَادَّ لِفَضْلِهِ يُصِيبُ بِهِ مَن يَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ وَهُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. That nothing ever befalls you from evil except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is able to alleviate you from it. And nothing happens to you that is good except it comes from His grace and His blessing. He gives it to who He wills, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most merciful and the most compassionate. Everything comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whatever difficulty you're going through, you have to trust that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to alleviate that difficulty for you. The second that you think that Allah has not got your back, that it's up to you to get yourself out of this difficulty, that you need to take steps, and if you don't take those steps, that this difficulty is going to stay forever. As soon as you start thinking like that, as soon as you start thinking materialistically, causally, that everything has like a cause and an effect, as soon as you start thinking like that, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in control, you are going to make the wrong decisions and shaitan is going to grab you and he's going to cause you to fall into the haram. You have to recognize that everything is already written. Everything is already preordained and predestined. You are going in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala no matter which decision that you make. You are free to choose what you want. فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ. Whoever decides to believe, believes. And whoever decides to disbelieve, disbelieves. You have your own free choice with regards to the decisions that you make. But recognize that whatever decision you do make, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already knows it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already written it. And you are traversing through the universe with the path that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already laid down for you. So you have to recognize that, and when you recognize that, that makes things a little bit easier to overcome the challenges that you face. وَمَن يُسْلِمْ وَجَهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَهُوَ مُحْسِنٌ فَقَدْ اسْتَمْسَكَ بِالْعُرْوَةِ الْوُثْقَى. Allahu Akbar. وَإِلَى اللَّهِ عَاقِبَةُ الْأُمُورِ. That whoever submits to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fully and wholeheartedly, and he is muhsin, he is someone who is trying his utmost to do the best that he possibly can in the situation that he finds himself in, فَقَدْ اسْتَمْسَكَ بِالْعُرْوَةِ الْوُثْقَى. This is the person that is holding on to الْعُرْوَةِ الْوُثْقَى, the strongest of attachments to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you know what is described as the عُرْوَةِ الْوُثْقَى? The Qur'an. The Qur'an is the strongest attachment that you can have to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you are attached to the Qur'an, no matter what difficulty you find yourself in, you will be able to overcome it inshaAllah ta'ala. We have to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala much. We usually remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we go through a difficulty, right? But usually it's in a bad way. It's like, Ya Allah, why is this happening to me? Why am I going through this, Ya Allah? What did I do to deserve this, brother? Never ever say that, right? Because you have no idea what you've done. Knowingly or unknowingly, that is displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the first khutbah, Imam Usama, check it out on YouTube, he mentioned a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which a person doesn't recognize what he's saying, but the thing that he says is so displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he goes down into the bottomless pit of the hellfire as a result of it. So so we need to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as much as we possibly can. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَتَطْمَئِنَّ قُلُوبُهُمْ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبُ. That those who believe and their hearts find tranquility, ease, they find solace in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For verily, in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do the hearts certainly find that solace. So remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala much when you are in goodness and when you are in difficulty. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be able to alleviate you from your problem a lot faster and a lot better. And you will feel that that thing that you're anxious about, that thing that you're worried about, is associated with the dunya. But you, with your dhikr, are attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala isn't confined by time and space. He's not confined by the laws of the dunya. So these things that you're worried about, making ends meet, these things that are causal, have a cause and effect, that you think have some sort of material value, they are valueless with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in control of all of those things. So put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the only way that you'll be able to do that is by remembering Him much. We have to stop thinking causally and materially. This is a problem that we have here in the West, especially Muslims in the West. Everything is material. If I don't work, I'm not going to make money. If I don't have money, I won't get X, Y, Z. I have to do X in order to get Y, in order to get Z. Terrible examples, I know, but it's off the cuff here, right? But we think causally all the time, in everything that we do. With regards to our children, when we're having kids, when we're family planning, there's so much causality that is going through our minds. When we are studying, when we are working, when we are purchasing, when we are selling, everything is causal to us. There is nothing that we rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with in anything that we do here in the West. It's a very sort of, I don't mean you particularly, as in like you guys here, you sitting in front of me. I mean generally here in the West as a society, this is what we are going through. So we need to stop thinking this way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, وَكَأَيِّمْ مِنْ دَابَةٍ لَا تَحْمِلُ رِزْقَهَا اللَّهُ يَرْزُقُهَا وَإِيَّاكُمْ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. Forget you as a human being who has the ability to make choices and decisions. An animal that doesn't have the option to make a choice of what career path he wishes to choose. A lion is a lion, a cow is a cow, a sheep is a sheep. They're going to eat what they're going to get. They don't have the ability to plant seeds and agriculture and all that sort of stuff. They don't have the ability to analyze the economy and see what the GDP is in terms of like going up or down and what's happening with the economies and whatnot. They can't predict the future and what's going to be happening in the future. These are animals that have no control of their situation whatsoever. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala draws a parable in the Quran that these creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who don't control their rizq in any way whatsoever, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking care of them. So what about you? What about you, Yabni Adam, who is able to make choices and able to make decisions, who has the intellect to be able to create things with his hands in order to aid him in his search for sustenance and rizq, and in his search for power and status, and his search for recognition of others. So we need to stop thinking causally and recognize that everything comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He is giving it to us whether we want it or we don't want it. Whether we choose a halal means or we choose a haram means, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to give whatever He is going to give to us. And last but not least, and we'll end with this, is don't despair. The worst thing that a Muslim can do is despair in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the rizq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We as Muslims should never despair. Whatever situation we find ourselves in, whatever dire situation we find ourselves in, we always hear like, mashallah, our old uncles, I don't want to like put the uncles out here or anything like that, but youngsters, we're just the same, where we're constantly sort of like, you know, complaining about the situation of the ummah, and it's not going to change unless Fajr is like Jumu'ah, and all these other things, right, that we hear all the time, people just complaining. Don't despair, no matter what situation the Muslim ummah finds itself in, no matter what situation a Muslim himself as an individual finds himself in, don't despair of the power and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ability of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to change things from their head to their toes, to flip things round like they weren't before. And then suddenly when it does happen, mashallah, the insan, Bani Adam, what does he say? He says, look what I did, mashallah, this is my doing. And if it wasn't, if I didn't make that decision at that time, wallah, it never would have happened. Right, brother, you're not doing anything. Allah did it all for you. Don't take the credit for it. So the most important thing is don't despair in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, وَلَا تَيْأَسُ مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ إِنَّهُ لَا رَيْأَسُ مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمُ الْكَافِرُونَ. The people who do despair are those who disbelieve in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a trait of a disbeliever. So do not despair in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to and alleviate us of all of our anxieties and our difficulties. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to recognize His mercy and His compassion in all of the difficulties that we go through, and allow us to recognize the yusr, the ease in all of our hardships. Ameen, ameen. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum wa li sa'iril muslimin fastaghfiruh innahu huwal ghafurur rahim. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه وبعد. One of the things that we can do in order to aid us in all of this is to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala copiously with ikhlas and from the bottom of our hearts for all of the things that we are going through with regards to our difficulties and our anxieties and our struggles, to be able to give us that yaqeen. And this can only be given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is min ladunni, right? This is from Him and Him alone. He can't give you, nobody else can give you this. No one from the creation can ever give you that solace and that contentment with regards to your difficulty that you're going through. Rather, that comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And you have to ask Him for that. He's not going to give it to you just like that. You have to ask Him. That is a form of dhikr as well. Luckily for us, the day of Jumu'ah is a blessed day. And on the day of Jumu'ah, there is an hour in which if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asked, and we do make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He doesn't leave us empty-handed with whatever we ask for. So we hope and pray that this is that hour, so we raise our hands and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive our sins, to overlook our shortcomings, and to save us from the punishment of the hellfire. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما يا رب العالمين اللهم ارزقنا التوكل فيك يا رب العالمين اللهم ارزقنا التوكل عليك يا رب العالمين اللهم ارزقنا العلم النافع ورزقا طيبا وعملا متقبلا يا رب العالمين آمين آمين أي عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله العلي الجليل يذكركم واشكروه يزدكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون وأقيم الصلاة.